talk about being raised beyond your feelings, allowing God to raise you up beyond what it is that you're feeling. So how many times have you said in your life, but I just don't feel like doing that? How many times? I raise my hand. I've said it numerous times. In fact, I probably say it numerous times a day. I actually just don't feel like doing that. And I've been thinking a lot lately about how our feelings or our emotions can disrupt God's will in our lives, how our feelings can cause us to stumble and not step out into what God is calling us to do, how our feelings can hinder our intimacy with God, creating a divide between Him and ourselves. But God wants us to, our faith, to rise above our feelings. He wants us to step out from beyond our feelings. Amen. And a lot of the time, the very thing that God is calling us to do will cause us to feel uncomfortable. And it will require a whole lot of faith to step out. And I want to begin with the best example of allowing faith to rise above feelings. So if you please turn to Luke 22 in your Bible. And we'll be reading verses 39 to 44. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. This passage proves that Jesus felt emotions. He had feelings. And it says in this verse, and being in anguish. And if you look up anguish in the dictionary, anguish is a severe mental or physical pain or suffering. It's being extremely distressed about something. So Jesus was distressed. He was in anguish. The Bible says that he felt this emotion. But he trusted God with his emotions. He said, "If you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." I'm sure Jesus would rather not have suffered on the cross. I'm sure he would have rather not died on the cross. And he even asked God to remove what was about to happen. Yet in the same breath, he said, "Not my will, but yours be done. And the Bible says at once, as soon as he began to pray, at once an angel from heaven was at his side strengthening him.
Amen.
And even though Jesus was in anguish, even though he was feeling all kinds of emotions, he prayed on. He prayed harder. The Bible says sweat wrung from him like drops of blood. It poured off his face and fell to the ground. Jesus surrendered himself fully to God, and he died on the cross. And it's because of his sacrifice that we are redeemed, we are restored, and we are forgiven. Imagine if Jesus didn't do what God had called him to do because he didn't feel like because he was too scared. What if he said to God, I just don't feel like doing that, Lord? Imagine where we would be today if Jesus had never died on the cross for us. So I'm going to start with one of the biggest emotions that we feel, one of the biggest feelings that I feel prevents us from stepping out into what God has called us to do, and that's fear. Amen. So we may not be facing death on the cross like Jesus, but we do face many things in our lives that cause fear. How often have you not done something because you worried what people would think of you? Again, I'm guilty of this.
This is
one of my biggest struggles. A lot of the time I don't do something that I know God is calling me to do because I'm worried what people might think of me.
That's true.
The fear of man has paralyzed me more times than I would like to admit. But why do we worry so much about what people think? Shouldn't what God thinks of us be the driving force in our lives?
Yes.
Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." A snare is a trap. The fear of man lays a snare. So the fear of man traps us. And unfortunately, we get caught in that trap often. But the rest of that verse says, "But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe."
Amen.
So we are only safe when we trust God.
Amen.
And I want to give a couple of examples of two men who didn't care what people thought. David. David was a man who loved God. The Bible said he was a man after God's own heart.
Yes.
He didn't care what people thought of him. He wasn't afraid of man's opinion of him.
Come on.
And the Bible said when he was bringing the Ark of God into the city, it says that he was dancing before the Lord with all his might. I think some versions might use undignified, but he was
that's
undignified.
Right. That's right.
And that when his wife saw him, she mocked him. Mm-hmm. And she said, why are you acting so foolishly in front of your people? Mm-hmm. And David's response was, in God's presence, I'll dance all I want. Oh yes, I'll dance to God's glory more recklessly even than this. And as far as I'm concerned, I'll gladly look like a fool. You see, David didn't care what he looked like. He didn't care what people thought of him. All he wanted to do was praise God. He wanted to worship God. He wanted to thank God. And he only cared what God thought about him.
Yeah.
The second man I want to speak about is Bartimaeus, the blind man in Jericho, who had enough faith to not care what man thought of him because he knew that Jesus could heal him. And the Bible said he was sitting on the roadside when he heard Jesus was there. And he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says there's a group of people around him, and they were like, be quiet, why are you shouting? Stop it. And they rebuked him. And I feel like if that was me, I would have probably just did what they say and just be quiet, because I would have been embarrassed. But the Bible says that he began to shout even more.
Yes, right, yes.
He began to shout even more, and he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. You see, he didn't care what people thought of him because he knew that Jesus could heal him.
Amen.
And Jesus did. He restored his sight and he told him, your faith has healed you.
Yeah.
These two men could care less about God's approval. They only desired God's approval. And this is the place that we all need to get to. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Amen.
We need to trust this. We need to believe this, that God is always with us.
Yes.
And when we get to this place of complete trust, we will no longer fear what others think of us. Fear will no longer trap us. It will no longer ensnare us. It will no longer paralyze us, because we're trusting in God, not man. We're in our safe place when we're trusting in him. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. This is what trusting God does. Trusting God lifts us up. It causes us to soar. It keeps us persevering and doing all that he has called us to do. So there's fear of man, and then there's another type of fear, and there's fear of not being good enough.
Yes. Yes.
Again, this type of fear is paralyzing.
Yes.
Satan likes to whisper words of discouragement into
on.
Our ears, and it's those negative voices that will prevent us from stepping
Amen.
Out and doing what God has called us
Amen.
To do.
Yes.
So I'm just going to share an example, a personal example of myself. I recently attended a leader's prayer meeting. Actually, it was here at Biggleswade. And from the time I arrived, I had so many negative voices in my head. You don't belong here. You're not worthy of being a leader. You should just go sit in your car until it's over. Your prayers are stupid. In fact, you don't even know how to pray. So what are you doing here? And you know, this is what I heard. And these voices overwhelmed me so much so. Like, what I should have done was spoken God's truth over myself.
Yeah.
But I chose not to. I chose to let these voices overwhelm me. So much so that I refused to pray with everyone else. I didn't pray. And that was because I didn't feel good enough, because I believed the voices in my head. And again, this is something I struggle with. But God has been speaking to me so much lately about my feelings of fear and them paralyzing me. He actually told me through a very good friend of mine that until I step out from those fear, that I'm stagnant. There's not a lot he can do with me. And that's like a huge wake-up call. I don't want to be stagnant.
No, man, that's
I
right.
want to step into all that God has.
Come on, yes.
God
Amen.
Wants us to step into all
Amen.
That he has us
Amen.
To do. He doesn't want us
Amen.
To be stagnant. He wants
yeah,
us to step beyond our fears, beyond our feelings, and into his good and perfect will for
that's
our
right.
lives.
Jesus.
2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. This is God's truth. This is what we need to speak over to our lives when those negative voices come in. He has not given us a spirit of fear. That doesn't come from God. That comes from Satan. He has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And God's word also says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. And we know this. We know this. We read this all the time, yet we struggle to believe it. We struggle to grasp hold of it. And I think that once we truly receive and believe this truth, our lives will never be the same.
That's right.
They'll
That's
never
right.
be the same. It's through God placing His Holy Spirit within us that we receive His power, we receive His love, and we receive His peace of mind. It's only then that we will know that we are chosen, we are worthy, that we are good enough, we are a royal priesthood, we are loved by God, accepted by Him, redeemed, and restored. Once we grasp hold of these truths, we can step beyond our feelings of fear and into what God is calling us to do. And if God has called you to do something, He's not just going to leave you, He's going to give you the ability.
That's right.
To do it.
That's right.
Another emotion that we often struggle with is worry. I don't know about you, but once I let worry enter in, it kind of consumes me. It can be big things, it can be little things, but in my experience, worry will just overwhelm you. And we all go through trials. We live in a fallen world. We're going to go through struggles. Being a Christian doesn't exempt us from life's difficulties, but being a Christian means that we have access to God's peace. We have access to His hope. Yet in the midst of a struggle, we often forget this. Why? Because worrying overrides our thoughts of God. Worry gives way to anxiety, another emotion that often overwhelms us. But Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
When we face difficulties, we often try and fix it on our own. But this verse tells us right here, not to worry, not to be anxious, to bring everything to God in prayer. And in return, He will fill us with His peace and help us to keep our minds
Amen.
On Him.
Amen.
I'm just going to read, if you turn to Psalm 121, I love this psalm. Because it reminds us that God is always with us. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. This verse reminds us that God is always with us. We only need to lift up our eyes and we will find Him. He keeps us from all harm. He watches over our lives. We need not worry or be anxious, knowing that the God of the universe is watching over us. Worry doesn't change anything. Worry changes nothing. In fact, it robs us of our peace.
That's
it robs us of our joy. Trusting in God may not change our circumstance, but it does change
Come
us.
On, preach.
Trusting
yeah.
God changes
preach.
Us. It builds our faith. It fills us with with His peace.
Yeah.
And it causes us to look away from our problems, away from our circumstance, and lift our eyes up to
Amen.
Jesus, the
Amen.
Pioneer and perfecter of our faith.
Amen.
And I've got one more type of emotion that I want to speak about. And I said this morning, I wasn't sure if this was an emotion, so I had to Google it, but it actually is an emotion, and that's pride.
Yeah.
Pride is an inwardly directed emotion. It's an emotion that makes us focus purely on ourselves.
That's right.
It's an emotion that causes us to consider ourselves above anybody else,
that's right.
including
yes.
God.
Yes.
And then I also read this, which I really love, so I'm going to quote it. Pride is a prison that perpetuates anger and hurt while keeping at bay the restorative effects of conviction, humility, and reconciliation.
Good word. Good
I just
word.
Love that. I just love that. I think that sums up
wow.
pride to a T.
Mm-hmm.
And God has been speaking to me so clearly about pride and how it has been holding me back.
Amen.
My husband and I, we don't really argue. We try not to argue because it feels wrong. It just feels wrong. I once had a friend say to me, like, don't you argue all the time with your husband? No, I don't. Because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it grieves God when we're in disunity with each other. Like, if we're arguing, not speaking to each other, just, it doesn't feel right. So we try not to do it. Anyway, my stepson, Joseph's son, has recently come home after some time away. And to cut a long story short, we had a struggle, and he ended up leaving the house for a while. But then he wanted to come back. And, of course, my husband's so happy about that. But if I'm honest, I didn't feel the same way. And I struggled. I struggled most days. And I began to pick at every little thing. And it resulted in huge, horrendous, horrible arguments between my husband and I. I felt I was right, so I didn't want to back down. And this attitude left me feeling angry. It left me feeling resentful. It left me feeling anxious. And I remember one morning I was in the kitchen holding on to my pride, and God said to me very, very clearly, Clara, I am gracious with you. I am merciful to you. I forgive you. I am kind to you. I am gentle, and I love you no matter what. And I look back on that, and I'm so thankful that I wasn't so full of pride that I wasn't able to hear what God was saying to me or to receive what he was saying to me. And it was in that moment that I realized that my attitude was so unlike the attitude of Jesus. So unlike the attitude of Jesus. Pride had caused anger inside of me. It caused me to hold on to hurt. It prevented me from remaining humble. It prevented reconciliation between my husband and I. It prevented reconciliation between myself and my stepson. I didn't realize until that moment just the negative effects that pride could have. I always thought pride was just feeling great about yourself and boasting about yourself, but there's another side of pride, you know, one that doesn't often get spoken about. And pride will prevent us from saying sorry. How many of us like to say sorry? Raise your hand. I love to say sorry. How many of us like to say sorry? I don't like to say sorry. Especially when I think I'm right. I don't want to say sorry. Pride will prevent us from saying sorry. Pride will prevent us from saying sorry. It will allow anger and hurt to fester. And I knew that moment, as soon as my husband came home, that I needed to apologize to him. I knew I needed to make amends so that I could be back in the will of God, so that he could bring reconciliation and restoration, which he did. Pride will take you out of the will of God. When we're proud, we're doing our own thing, we are focused on what we want, we're controlling our own destination. Proverbs 29:23 said, pride brings a person low. It takes us out of the will of God. But a humble person walking in the will of God is honored by God. Peter, 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up in due time. Pride never raises us up. All it will do is push us down and create a divide between ourselves and God. And if we go back to the story of David, when he danced before the Lord and his wife mocked him and laughed at him, the Bible goes on to say that she had no children until the day of her death. She was barren. And if you look up barren, it means unproductive. Her pride caused her to be unproductive. God couldn't use her. And in the same way that her pride had caused her to be barren, pride can cause us to be spiritually barren and unproductive. But God doesn't want us to be unproductive. He wants us to be productive. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be fruitful, and he wants us to give birth to the things that he has
given.
So
we need
to remain humble. We need to allow God to free us from the bondage of pride and let him clothe us in his humility, to treat others kindly, with patience and love, forgiving, moving forward. And this requires faith. We can't do it on our own. It requires faith in God, faith to step beyond our pride and into God's beautiful humility so that he can raise us up in due time. So I'm going to bring this to an end. In conclusion, We need to have enough faith to trust God with our feelings, to fully surrender ourselves to His will for our lives. And this morning, God placed Abraham on my heart. I began to think about Abraham, and he was a great man of faith and a great example of rising above your feelings. God took him on a journey from leaving the land he knew to the willingness to sacrifice the life of his son, Isaac. And Abraham did all that God asked him to do,
yes,
regardless of how he felt, because he trusted God.
Mm,
and God told him, because you were willing and you trusted me, I will bless
amen.
You and make your descendants
come
more
on.
Numerous than the stars in the sky and the sand in the shore. And that's what God did. He raised Abraham up because Abraham was not afraid to step out from behind his feelings. And after 2,000 years, after over 2,000 years, after Abraham's willingness to sacrifice the life of his son, God sacrificed the life of his
hallelujah.
Son to show
yes.
us how much he loves us, to save us, to redeem us and restore us, and to teach us. This is an example to us, to teach us and to raise us up. He gave us the perfect example,
amen.
Jesus
amen.
Christ.
Yeah.
So look at your Christian walk as a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we can walk as if we're saved and we really don't need to do anything else, or we can walk as Abraham walked, surrendering everything we have to God,
amen.
Depending upon Him,
amen.
Humbling ourselves to Him. And as we do this, our will becomes His
amen.
Will.
Come
and
on, please.
He changes us
oh, yes.
inside out, and we begin to take on the appearance of Jesus,
amen.
Thinking and becoming more like Him every day.
Amen.
Turn to Philippians 2,
amen.
And we're going to read verses 1
amen.
Through 11.
Bless God.
Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others.
Excellent.
In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death,
yes.
even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name,
yes. Yes.
that the name of Jesus, every
yep.
knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God wants us to be raised beyond our feelings. He wants us to take on the mind of Jesus,
amen.
Being loving and compassionate with one another, doing nothing out of pride or selfish ambition, but remaining humble, fully surrendering ourselves to God, realizing that
excellent.
It's only by the grace of God that
amen.
We are even here.
Excellent.
God
excellent.
Wants us to take on the nature of a servant, ready and willing to do whatever it is He's asking us to do, stepping beyond our feelings of fear, beyond the feelings of fear of man, beyond the fear of not being good enough, beyond the worry, beyond the anxiety. He wants us to step beyond our pride and into His calling
amen.
Upon our lives,
amen.
Allowing Him to raise us up with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let God raise you up. Step out from up beyond your feelings and into your calling.
Amen. Come on. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Word.
Claire, that was amazing.
Amen.
Word.
We met with God this evening. Powerful word. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask Joe to come back and to lead us in worship. But I really feel that God has spoken significantly to people tonight, and you need to make a response. And I know that Claire will be happy to pray with you. Just let the Holy Spirit minister into your heart. Because there's some key areas there of emotions, negative emotions, that can hinder us from stepping into God's will.
Yes.
And I know everyone here, you know, in your heart, you want to step into God's will. I'm confident of that. But I'm also aware of those things that can restrict us. And God wants us to be free. He wants to raise us above those emotions. We live by faith, not by feelings. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm just going to pray for us. Pray into these key points. And as we worship, and if Claire could stand at the front here with me, and then just invite people to come. Let the Spirit just do His work in you tonight. Father, we thank You that we've heard from You so clearly tonight, and we're so grateful for this powerful word from Claire. Bless her, Lord. She's faithfully given out, Lord, what You've laid on her heart. And God, I really sense that this is so relevant. Maybe one area, maybe all the areas are relevant to our lives. May we not miss this opportunity to let Your Holy Spirit work in that powerful, significant way that He does. Lord, if there's any pride in us, Father, we ask that You would help us to humble ourselves under Your mighty hand, that You would raise us up, because that pride will be a barrier from us getting to where You want us to go. So, Lord, we give it to You tonight in Jesus' name. And Father, if worry, anxiety is gripping our hearts, set us free tonight, God. Let us focus not on problems, but focus on Your word, which is truth, which brings freedom. And Father, we pray if we are feeling like we're not good enough, Lord, break that lie in our minds tonight. Let us know that Jesus has made us good enough, that we are accepted as Your children, and You want to use us powerfully for Your glory. And God, we pray tonight. Lord, we pray tonight for any of these issues in us. The fear is such a big one, I feel, Lord. Fear of man. It would try and trap us. But Lord, when we trust in You, we're kept safe. We've got nothing to worry about what people may say or do. Lord, when we think about You, Jesus, people often got You wrong, but You weren't intimidated, You weren't put off by those that thought You were great one minute and then changed their mind the next, Lord. You just knew who You were. Do what You have to do. Lord, help us to live with that same confidence. We know who we are. We know who You are and know what You want us to do.